Well, it's lovely to be with you, and I'm sorry for those people who've been trying to get on the telephone. We hope that they'll be able to read through the service, even if they can't hear us this morning. So this is the fourth Sunday before Lent, and I hope you've got your order of service in front of you. O Lord, open our lips, and our mouth shall proclaim your praise. Your light springs up for the righteous, and all the peoples have seen your glory. The Collect for the fourth Sunday before Lent. O God, you know us to be set in the midst of so many and great dangers, that by reason of the frailty of our nature, we cannot always stand upright. Grant to us such strength and protection as may support us in all dangers and carry us through all temptations. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. And our psalm this morning is Psalm 3, and we begin by saying the refrain together. You, Lord, are a shield about me. Lord, how many are my foes? How many rise up against me? Many are saying of me, God will not deliver him. You, Lord, are a shield about me. But you, Lord, are a shield around me. My glory, the one who lifts my head high. I call out to the Lord, and he answers me from his holy mountain. I lie down and sleep. I wake again because the Lord sustains me. I will not fear, though tens of thousands assail me on every side. You, Lord, are a shield about me. Arise, Lord, deliver me, my God. Strike all my enemies on the jaw. Break the teeth of the wicked. From the Lord comes deliverance. May your blessing be on your people. You, Lord, are the shield about me. Shield us, Lord, from all evil, and lift us from apathy and despair, that even when we are terrified, we may trust your power to save. Through Jesus Christ, you are Lord. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. The night has passed, and the day lies open before us. Let us pray with one heart and mind. Help us to hear your word and to speak it. Help us to know your truth and to show it. Help us to feel your love and to share it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our first reading this morning comes from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying, and they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried, "I am ruined. For I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And Who will go for us? And I said, Here I am. Send me. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. And our canticle this morning is taken from Isaiah chapter 43. And we begin with the refrain, I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself, that they might declare my praise. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert.
Our second reading comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5, beginning at the first verse. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats, left there by the fishermen, who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and he taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats, so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people. So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
It's not often I get the opportunity to preach on the Old Testament passage, but I'm going for it this week. Both our Bible readings are about commissioning. The story of Jesus calling his disciples in Luke is both simple and commonplace. Fishermen beside their boats, cleaning their nets after a failed catch. They feel defeated and out of their depth. Yet Jesus looks at them and sees them differently, and he calls them to live a life to the full. When they trust his advice and go out into the deep water, they not only catch a miraculous number of fish, they get caught up in Jesus' very own story. His story becomes their story. Isaiah's commissioning story is full of rich and fascinating detail. Many of us might feel out of our depth or intimidated if we were taken into the throne room of a monarch or a head of state. Imagine being taken into God's throne room with God present. No wonder Isaiah is utterly overwhelmed by the encounter. The way this incident is described is pure theatre. The Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up. Seraphim fiery, angelic beings flying around, receiving forgiveness and absolution, not just by saying the words of confession and hearing the promise of absolution, but feeling the heat of a burning coal on his lips. Wow. I expect that for some of us, when we read these stories of extraordinary encounters with God, it raises quite a few thoughts and questions. How do I feel about them? Are they real? Why don't I have such experiences? Or I'm jolly glad I don't have such experiences. How would I respond if God appeared in such a way? Would I run away screaming? Would I fear for my state of mind? Would I relish each and every second? So, where to begin? Firstly, do I really believe in a God of encounter, like the passage from Isaiah? In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, writes the prophet. Isaiah records that this encounter with God is rooted in context and history. King Uzziah, one of Judah's better kings, died around 740 BC. Uzziah had contracted leprosy for flouting God's holiness. His death was to mark the end of a lengthy era of national prosperity. So at a particular moment in time, a moment of huge change and upheaval for the nation, for God's people, and for the prophet, Isaiah encounters God. In other words, in a time of uncertainty and confusion, when everything is shifting and changing, and Isaiah has nothing else to lean on, he encounters and meets with God. Wouldn't it be wonderful to say, in the year of COVID, when our lives were changed, when our churches were closed, when our politicians failed us, when everything seemed uncertain and confused, I saw the Lord. When we read the Bible, we read that our God is a God of encounter. He wants to meet us. He wants to engage with us. He wants us to experience his presence. He wants us to see him for all he is. Secondly, when I read the passage from Isaiah, I am forced to realize that worship can be dangerous. Has that ever occurred to you? Or have you and I only experienced cautious, controlled worship where I get exactly what I expect and no more? I loved this quote from Annie Dillard. Does anyone have the foggiest idea what sort of power we blithely invoke when we worship? The churches are children playing on the floor with their chemistry sets, mixing up a batch of TNT to kill a Sunday morning. It is madness to wear ladies' straw hats and velvet hats to church. We should all be wearing crash helmets. Ushers should issue life preservers and signal flares. They should lash us to our pews. For the sleeping God may wake someday and take offense, or the waking God may draw us to where we can never return. Wouldn't it be great to have a sign outside our churches saying, "Danger, worship in progress"? When Isaiah goes to the temple to worship, heaven breaks open. The presence of God comes down. The hem, just the hem, the train of God's robe fills the temple, and Isaiah experiences the grandeur, the glory of God so powerfully that he can do nothing other than cry out in awe, in fear, and in wonder. Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Isaiah sees God's holiness, his mysterious otherness. He is forced to recognize the huge, huge gulf between God's holiness and his sinfulness. The God Isaiah encounters is not easily contained or safe. it reminds me of a favourite passage from The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe, one which I know I have quoted before. "Who is Aslan?" asked Susan. "Aslan," said Mr. Beaver. "Why, don't you know? He's the king. It is he, not you, that will save Mr. Tumnus." Is he a man?" asked Lucy. "Aslan, a man?" Mr. Beaver said sternly. "Certainly not. I tell you, he is the king of the wood and the son of the great emperor beyond the sea. Don't you know who is the king of beasts? Aslan is a lion, the great lion." "Oh," said Susan, "I thought he was a man. Is he quite safe? I shall feel rather nervous about meeting a lion." "That you will, dearie, and make no mistake," said Mrs. Beaver. "If there's anyone who can appear before Aslan without their knees knocking, they're either braver than most or just silly." "Then he isn't safe," said Lucy. "Safe?" said Mr. Beaver. "Don't you hear what Mrs. Beaver tells you? Who said anything about safe? Of course he isn't safe. But he's good. He's the king, I tell you." "I'm longing to see him," said Peter, "even if I do feel frightened when it comes to the point." The God Isaiah sees is not safe. Isaiah's experience is not comfortable. The forgiveness he receives is not painless, but it is completely and utterly transformational. How casually and carelessly I approach worship at times. It's probably because I don't expect that sort of experience of God. I say, "Holy, holy, holy, the whole world is full of your glory." But how often does it render me awestruck with wonder, love, and praise? And isn't it amazing that at the same time as Isaiah is overwhelmed by his encounter with God, God comes down to him, not only to forgive Isaiah, but to invite him to join God in his work. "Who shall I send?" asks the Lord. And Isaiah replies, "Here I am, send me." Isaiah sees God and everything changes. May we see the Lord in his splendor and his holiness, and may we also be changed for his glory. Amen.
Let's turn now to prayer. So we come before the great God and we worship. Let us pray to God the Father, who has reconciled all things to himself in Christ. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. For peace among the nations, that God may rid the world of violence and let peoples grow in justice and harmony. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. For those who serve in public office, in local government, in national government, in the health service, the police, in all manner of ways, we pray that they may work for the common good. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. And on this day, we give thanks for the life and Christian witness of Her Majesty the Queen at the beginning of this, her Jubilee year. Almighty God, fountain of all goodness, bless our Sovereign Lady, Queen Elizabeth, and all who are in authority under her, that they may order all things in wisdom and equity, righteousness and peace, to the honour and glory of your name and the good of your church and people. Lord, hear us.
Lord, graciously hear us.
We pray for all who are unwell and all who mourn. remembering especially amongst the sick, Jack, Jen, Jennifer, Alan, Aileen, Rosemary, Ali, Gordon, Richard, Brenda, Robert, Tim, Addy, Kathy, and others known to us. And we give thanks for the lives of those whom we love but see no longer. And we pray for the bereaved families of Kim Goldsworthy, Mary Ross, Ian Fraser, Lawrence Gardner, David Glidden, and all those who we remember with love and thanksgiving. Lord, hear us.
Lord, graciously hear us.
As our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven,
hallowed be your name.
Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
The God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be among us and remain with us, and those we love and pray for, today and always. Amen. Amen. And we say together our sending out prayer. Lord of the deep, be with us when we feel out of our depths. Lord of the waves, send us where we are most needed. Lord of the shore, bring us safely home. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you very much for joining us this morning. I'm sorry about those on the telephone, but Tilly's got her friend. I've got a friend here. If you know people who have been trying to get on the phone, can you please say how sorry we are that they couldn't join us this morning? And it'd be great to gather with you our coffee morning on Zoom on Wednesday. And our final Bible study is on Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock. I hope you don't blow away today. I'm just about to go off to Oakford, so I think that might be a bit blowy. But anyway, God bless. Hope to see you soon and see you next week, if not in between. Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody. Bye.